Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello and welcome to White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks its guests three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine. And this week, I'm still in the company of the phenomenal Louise Redknapp because, well, frankly, we had way too much to catch up on to contain it all into one episode. So we carried on recording and reflecting on her incredible life and times. On last week's episode, we lifted the lid on the heady days of the 90s, her decision to quit Eternal at the peak of their success in order to go solo, and then stepping aside to raise her family and taking 17 years out before bravely stepping back into the spotlight and relaunching her career. That was all covered in our first question. So sit back, plug in and top up your glass as we rejoin Louise as she steps up to the mic for question number two. Question number two, Lou. You're about to put out your greatest hits, a celebration of a body of work that provides the tracks of your years. But what I wanted to know is, what are the actual tracks of your years? The songs by other artists that mean the most because of the moments or the chapters that they represent.
Oh, God. I mean, so many. I mean, obviously, I Will Survive. If I were again as the opening one, that would definitely be my opening title.
God, that's great because it did start everything.
It really did.
B-side you sang?
No, so I sang on... Back then, you could get, like, the instrumental versions on the B-side.
Like a backing track.
So I took a backing track in. It's like, first I was afraid, I was petrified. And I was, like, just turning 11. I think, going back, I think things like... musically, that what remind me so much of my early years, Stevie Wonder, Signed, Sealed, Delivered, Nature Boy, then Randy Crawford, and that pure
Randy
and
Crawford.
Yeah, like I mean that
Street Life,
Street. They really remind me of my childhood.
Can you not perform Street Life in your live show for me, please?
I'll do that for you next.
Thanks,
gig.
Babe.
Do you? Yeah, is that one you want?
Yeah, June 1st.
I mean, what a song,
Jefferson,
June 1st. Yeah,
I'll be
we're there. You're there. Yeah, no, absolutely.
That's
yeah.
Great.
Yeah, I that would be really good, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I always do the boss. I'm going to do the boss at Shepherd's Bush, regardless of what my musical director says. I love it. It just gives me tingles. That was one of them songs that I used to make my family sit down in the dining room and come and do a show.
Yeah.
That, the boss and Ain't No Mountain High Enough. And there's I used to do all the talking behind the kitchen counter, you? Coming into Ain't No Yeah, I mean, I was that child that would sell tickets to the family to watch me in the living room.
Sell tickets.
50p, please. Thank you. Yeah, so I got definitely that whole era. And then I think after that, as I got into teenage years, I was never really into like current music. I've always been my own person in everything I do.
You've got old musical bones.
I've got old musical bones. I'm like it today. Like I have friends that say, you never really join part of the scene. Like you're always slightly left of the scene. You do your own little thing on a night out or whatever right. the case may be. So then I think I went into Luther Vandross days. Whitney.
Luther Whitney.
I think Never Too Much, all of those,
such
you know.
Such a great record, that.
Such great music. And then I was kind of like into my hip hop before my Eternal days. I liked a bit of Cypress Hill, all of that. Yeah, I think it was my roots coming out there, my musical direction. I just loved anything with a good bass line and a good hip hop beat. And then I was in Eternal, and then I still feel after that. It was,
but then you got to work with some amazing people like BB, you know, BB Winans. Did you do that? Was that you? You were on that one, weren't you?
Yeah, got to work with BB. We started off doing Crazy with BB, actually. So we went over to Nashville.
So BB Winans, just for anyone listening, is like a legend.
He's a huge legend, a huge gospel legend. He's got a big gospel family, one of the loveliest families. I mean, talent beyond. So anyway,
it is a bit intimidating, isn't it? Oh. When they all start singing, you just go, I'll get my coat.
I mean, and I remember going into the studio.
In Nashville as well.
In Nashville. And BB going, well, actually, before this, on the Sunday morning, we'd just flown in. He was like, I want to take you to my church. I'm like, okay, that sounds fab. So we all go along to church. We're sat at the front with BB and his family. And then you've got Luther, and then you've got Whitney Houston, and then you've got Brian McKnight, and then you've got Take Six, and you've got Raphael Sadiq. Anyone that knows me, I'm a massive Raphael Sadiq fan. He's an amazing, amazing funk guitarist. And I'm just sat there.
In
looking
church
around,
with all of those people.
In church with all of those people going, oh. Like completely in awe, walk into the studio the next day, bearing in mind I just heard all of these people singing and how incredible they were. And BB was like, so Lou, I think you should take the first verse. I'm like, me? What, the first verse?
Do you want Fernie, Esther?
I'm like, I'm not the lead singer. I don't do the verses. He was like, you do now. I was like, shit, you're kidding me. And there I was, you know, they see you walking. And I was like, okay, I'm the first verse.
And you did it.
And I did it, yeah.
Wow.
And but memories like that. So musically,
you
that,
are kind of literally standing on the shoulders of giants in those moments,
oh,
aren't you?
Oh, God. I mean, beyond people that set precedents within the music industry, like the biggest selling artists, people that. Just talent just engulfs any room.
And that's so intoxicating when you're around that much talent, isn't it?
Do you know what was so nice though? They were all so humble and so lovely. And I think that...
How was Whitney?
I mean, I met her on a few occasions, and on every occasion, just the superstar you'd expect her to be, but a very nice one. Like everything, you know, they say never meet your idols.
Yeah, I worked with her a few times. There was only one time where she just seemed... You know, not kind of present.
I think I sort of worked, well, was in the sort of her presence in the earlier days where she was at the height of her game. And she lived up to be everything you would want Whitney to be.
Yeah. I mean, but again, that intoxicating talent.
Yeah. It's world renowned, isn't it? You get,
talent, drunk on it, don't you?
You get like that level. So,
So we've got that all covered. And then what about when you move into the years where you step back? What was the music that sustained you? Or did you have to kind of just turn it off for a while?
Well, when I was at home with the kids, oh no, music still was such a big part, but it was that typical playing music in the kitchen. But I did go for a little bit of a period of not listening to music. It sounds really like nuts, and people listening to this might go, what? But I almost felt like listening to music I love made me a bit sad because it reminded me of what I wasn't doing. So I often didn't watch music videos. I often, unless I was out and enjoying music and have letting my hair down, I often switched off from what was going on because, I suppose it was FOMO. I just... thought I really want to be doing that and I can't, and there's no way I'll ever do it again.
Did you really think that for a while?
Yeah. Oh God, yeah. and I never thought I'd get to make music again.
Wow, that's... I didn't think that you felt like that.
Yeah, I didn't think there would just ever be the opportunity. I just thought, who's going to, you know, want more music from me? Like, I don't know. I just felt like that ship had sailed. It just wouldn't be an option again. Yeah, I never thought I'd do music again.
Gary Barlow said he'd stop singing for the best part of a decade.
Yeah.
Because of everything we're just talking about there. And it was just so painful for him.
Yeah.
Having been a singer, he just went mute. He wrote music, but had no interest in singing.
I used to just sort of like, you know, Christmas would come and you'd put all the sort of Mariah's and that on in the kitchen and it would all be playing. And I used to love it, but it used to be a... I want to be out there doing it.
Like a sucker punch.
Yeah, but you don't believe. You can't just all of a sudden... And the industry's changed a little bit more now where you can just make music and put it out online and social media, but you couldn't then.
Yeah.
You couldn't make a record.
Well, you needed a deal, right?
You needed a record deal. You needed radio to play it. You needed money to... But not kind of money on a personal level, but money, you know, on an international marketing level.
You needed millions of pounds of investment from a label.
Yeah, you couldn't just go, oh, I'm going to make music. And
then the stakes were high, right? Because everything rode on your chart position, then your number of sales. It's different now. They sign you and they earn everything you do. You do 360 deals and they earn
it's
on touring,
different.
Merch, all of that stuff. But at the time, it was all on that. So the stakes were so high. It was literally...
You couldn't afford to not have a top 10 record.
No.
And I'm not talking about financially, but you couldn't afford to not chart. Because if you didn't chart, there's every chance that you wouldn't have the next record.
See, I was always aware at Smash Hits that the journey of a hit record started with us. And if it didn't start with us, it was unlikely to have that kind of sail through to the charts.
Smash hits, road shows, all of those things.
Yeah, if you got smash hits, then Radio 1 took you seriously. If you got Radio 1, you were likely to chart. If you charted, you went on Top of the Pops.
Yeah.
And that was the circle.
Yeah.
And then you'd do CD UK on a Saturday morning or whatever. So that was...
They were like your five main
they were your touchstones.
Events.
But it kind of started with, you know, if we bigged you up at Smash Hits, that was huge because radio had to at least listen and look.
Yeah. Yeah, you needed a few things to fall into place. You needed Smash Hits to be behind you. You needed that front cover, really, for it to really kind of pop.
See, as a female editor, I felt the weight of that responsibility, certainly when it came to you, because we were friends by then as well. And then with the Spice Girls, and they came in and gave me, I mean, what for? They just stormed into the office one day, no appointment. They were brilliant.
Yeah.
They're like, you've got to support us. You're a woman. And I was the first woman to edit the magazine.
Yeah.
And I did take it upstairs and I did get told, this is on your neck, be it. I tell you, you know, so I said to them, get a number one. I'll give you support, but I can't give you a cover until you've had a number one.
Yeah.
And that was the deal. So we gave them a big double page spread saying, we love them. We think they're great.
Yeah.
They charted. They went to number one and off and up we were running. But I had to put my neck on the line for that.
Yeah, I can, which is mad, isn't it? Because you think the biggest selling girl band ever, right?
Well, now it looks like an act of madness. But at the time, you know, I remember sitting in my office with the publishers and saying, look, take that split up at the beginning of the year. They came at the kind of the end of the year. We tried lots of different things. Oasis were huge. Blur were huge. Indie was happening. I was like, none of this stuff is working for us. What have we got to lose? Let me shoot the girls. And if it doesn't work, fine. On my head be it.
Yeah. Well, someone made a very smart move that day in you. I mean, you read that and look at the sensation that came after
it. What else can we lose?
That must have been their first front cover when they did yours.
One of the first. I think it was us and Peter Lorraine at Top of the Pops.
Yeah.
And I had to get, when they got their midweeks in, so we used to get a faxed midweeks.
Yeah, I do remember the fax.
You'd be outside going, as it scrolled out really slow, like, and you go, oh my God, so they're not in the 40, they're not in the 30, they're not in the 20. Oh my God, they've gone top 10, where is it? And the midweek was number one. I was like, right, get Tom Howard on a plane to Japan now. Tom Howard was a really great photographer that I'm sure you've shot with. And they were in Japan doing the promo trail over there. And I called Simon Fuller and I was like, we'll shoot the cover. He's flying over with a colorama. Do you remember those kind of like colored backdrops?
Under his arm.
Literally. And we shot it on a pink backdrop with them. I said, we had 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Because they were suddenly the busiest band in the world.
Yeah.
And they had to punch their way through the colorama.
Yeah. Amazing. I remember it.
I remember the, you know. And
I do remember it.
In fact, yeah. I saw it in a retro shop. I was like, look, our cover's still going.
You're right, though. There were sort of powerful moments within an industry. And then the thing that was really hard to get back then was Top of the Pops.
Yeah.
That wasn't easy. And we were talking about Rick earlier.
Rick Baxter.
Yeah. That you could only do Top of the Pops when he was like head producer if you were willing to go on there live, completely live, live band, live. And it was always a little bit of you felt so proud to be asked to do that because he knew that you could.
Yeah.
And you felt in the world of pop where it was so documented that no one sang live, everyone mimed at that time. And I think a lot of people didn't sing live at that time because it was quick and easy to just get bands in without the back line. You know, when you sing live now, you have got your in-ears, you've got your monitor guy, you've got your guy out front. I mean, the cost of putting on a show...
It's huge.
So it was just quick and easy. Turn up, give you a dodgy mic, mime away... go home, everything sounds great, rather than going in for sound rehearsals, having all your backline, but Rick was very like, no, this is Top of the Pops. If you come on the show, we're going to do live. So it was always nice when you got to do it. But during the period that he was there, you knew that it would be your big live performance. But
that was another nut scenario, wasn't it, Lou? Because I hosted Top of the Pops after Smash Hits, and... it's not a big studio, right?
Yeah.
And
tiny little
And you're next door to EastEnders set. Yeah. And you're sharing a canteen with, you know, Pauline Fowler. And that would happen every week.
Yeah.
It's the most unglamorous of places. And in this small room, you would have, I posted on Instagram recently, a picture of me walking into studio with Whitney Houston behind me.
Yeah.
And I think we had Madonna on that week.
It was huge. And Pops was like everything.
The biggest stars
in the world. We filmed it on a Wednesday.
Yeah.
I mean, everything around your schedule is a pop-up.
Got to keep it clear for the...
Just in case you got Pops.
Yeah.
Just in case. You know, well rehearsed for Pops. And if you got two Top of the Pops, well...
You were laughing. It's Friday, it's 7:30, it's still number one, and then the camera will pull out and you go, it's Top of the Pops. And it felt like the coolest thing in the whole world ever to say.
It was so cool, though. It doesn't get cooler than that, does
it? Never.
I remember being on the stage with you saying it. And and your heart is racing and you're on Pops and then you've got like the countdown and the music's there and you're waiting for your performance because you're sort of sat in the charts and then they get your number read out and you'll be like, okay, and at number five, we've got...
Naked. She's not. It's Louise. 90s wink.
You've done that before, definitely. I feel so pleased that I got to do music during that era.
Mm. It was great, wasn't it?
So much fun.
Oh, take me back for a day in the Top of the Pops
studio.
So much
fun.
Ready for your third and final question?
Yes.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Okay, it's to your third and final question. As you release your greatest hits, I wondered if we could take it back to the 90s, because back in the 90s, when you released a record, you would always put sleeve notes together and thank yous. So as you compile your greatest hits sleeve notes, I want to know who you're thanking and why.
So I actually wrote my sleeve notes four or five days ago for the greatest hits.
Wow. So you are doing sleeve.
Yep. And they went across two pages, and my management were like, we need to cut this down to one page because
it's not a book, Lou.
It's not a book, yeah. You're not writing a book. But I just felt like there were so many key people I wanted to thank. And I sat there and I was voice noting them, because I'm much better when I just talk than trying to write it. If I write it down on paper, it all comes out a bit strange. So I just talk it for somebody else to write it up. And whoever wrote them up, I think, was a host of people from the office. I was having a little sniver, and like, you know, when that lump goes in the back of your throat, because it just takes you back and you feel so grateful for these people that along the way have just been such a solid consistence in your life, like just people that have been there. And so I started off my thank yous with the girls, Esther, Vernie and Kelly.
Did you?
Yeah, I felt like out of everybody, I needed to start there, because...
You still see... I know you see Kelly a lot.
I see Kel. Yeah, I haven't seen the others for a long, long time. The odd bit of correspondence, but very little.
So it's no ill feeling, it's just different lives. Yeah,
yeah, no ill feeling, just, different times.
Where are they? Are they still performing?
Not right now, I don't think. I mean, they could at any stage, they're so blooming talented, but... I felt like without them, nothing like what I've experienced would have happened. Mm. We all started that together. And on the Greatest Hits album, I've covered Stay, Just a Step and So Good.
Oh, that's so
I've
nice.
I've re-recorded those. And all I could think was, I really want to do them proud. I really want them to listen and go, yeah, Lou smashed that. She's done her thing. So they were my first thank yous, yeah. And then I sort of went down to Dennis and Ollie and Wendy Bulldog, lovely Wendy.
Wendy, you worked
who
in the
I
office.
Still see all the time.
Well, she wouldn't. I say worked in the office. She was part of the management team.
She was part of. Yeah, she was real my sort of sidekick through all those eternal days. Like, she travelled with us. She was, you know, there was advice that she gave me over the years that I've never ever let go of. I've always just stuck. She's always said to me, never be too busy to have a meeting. You know, always treat everybody the same from on the way down to the way up. Like, just words of advice that have just stayed with me.
And it's so true, because you know what? You behave well the first time around and you get a chance the second time around. If you don't behave well on the first time out, there is no second
chance.
No one has. Certainly when you get to this stage in your career, nobody wants to work with arseholes.
No, and there's too much options out there now that no one needs to work with arseholes, because there's always somebody that's better next door. There is always someone that's going to be better than you, always.
Or there's an alternative for sure.
But what they might not be better at is how you make other people feel. There's always going to be someone with a better voice, or can kick higher, or can, you know, pirouette more, or whatever the case may be in whatever walk of life your job's in. But one thing that people can't always have over you is how you treat other people. That's completely in your hands. And I think that's always sort of stayed with me. And also, that doesn't feel like hard work for me to treat people with respect.
No.
And nice, actually. I feel that just comes
You've been around
hand in
people
hand.
That don't, right?
I've been around many that don't and witnessed many that don't. And yeah, I sort of sit there and think, yeah, I give you like a year in this industry, because people don't need it. Life's too short. Like, people can go and work with people that are lovely. So why would you waste your time?
Yeah.
I think you can get away with it when you're at the very, very top. But then I think your days are numbered.
But, you know, once you hit the top, there's only one place to go, and that's down.
Yeah.
It's managing the descent, isn't it?
Yeah. And that's can sometimes be harder than managing the rise.
Yeah. If you curry favour along the way, it's a much easier descent.
100%.
It really is.
100%.
So that's all the First Avenue management team from that first time round.
First time round. Yeah.
Do you still speak to Dennis and Ollie?
Occasionally. I haven't spoken to Ollie in ages. I now and again bump into Dennis or hear something about him, but I very rarely see him. So that was like my thank yous early days. And then obviously I went to friends that have been there, like my close buddies that kind of just been there throughout, no matter what. Just always been there, the side of every gig I've done, to giving me a little text message when I've been on the red carpet or something, going, love it, babes, look fab. You know, just those little snippets of encouragement.
Cheerleaders.
My cheerleaders, yeah. Then to my current sort of management and who have been on such a journey with me, because they sort of scooped me up when, you know, the chips were down, so to speak. And
so when did you get signed with them then? Was this after Strictly?
Yep. So this was for Heavy Love. So I was sort of like not really within a management company, and I was sort of based somewhere. And Wayne, who looks after me now, came down and said, like, they said, oh, would you just have a chat with Lou, see what you think? And he was like, well, do you fancy doing a gig? I was like, Wayne, no one wants a gig from me. Like, seriously, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I want to do something. It's like, I think let's just put a little gig on, just see how it goes.
Was this Under the Bridge?
Under the Bridge. Talked me into doing it. The morning the tickets come out, when I say, like, nerves beyond nerves, a few of my friends had rang me and was like, Lou, we can't get tickets. Because I said to my friends, please all buy a ticket. I'll pay you, I'll give you the money, but just please don't let me not sell any tickets. Just please buy some tickets.
No.
So the girl, my cheerleaders will all go, sorry, I'm getting five. I'm going to take the whole family, so don't worry. And yep, and she's getting five as well. So you've sold at least 20 just with us two, so you're going to be fine. And they're like, Lou, we can't get on the website. It's crashed. I rung my management. I was like, I knew this was going to happen, and now the press are going to write that I can't sell any tickets, and I'm just going to be a laughing stock. And this is just exactly why I didn't want to put myself out there. And they were like, what are you talking about? It's just sold out. So it's been up for 4 minutes. And they went, yeah, and it sold out in 4 minutes. So go and enjoy your day. And you know, you put the phone down. I pulled over the car and was like, oh, thank you. I don't need to be humiliated by anyone. Yeah, and then that was the start of it. So that's what I mean by you sometimes just need people to give you a quick kick up the bum and go.
And to push you.
And you just need that push sometimes. And we all need that.
And then, of course, you've signed now to a record label that's run by somebody that really understands the path you're walking.
Yes.
Craig Logan.
Yes, BMG, Tag 8.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is great.
Former member of Bros.
Yep.
Who's had the most incredible career as an artist manager, as an artist, as a label boss. And
I mean, so nice. I've known him for 30 years. And when we talked about doing the greatest hits and Massive, my management label were like, do you think it's worth talking to Craig about it? Like, you get on with him, he's known you a long time, he knows this industry. I was like, yeah. Craig was like, let's do it.
One of the nicest men you'll ever meet.
Yeah.
Not just in this business, just full stop.
Yeah, great guy. Like you say, knows the business, so calm and collected.
Intelligent, and kind, calm.
Yep, which is everything this industry needs, as well as, so I feel like I've got a bit of both, because my manager's very, like, hungry and push, and we're going to get this. And like we always say, love's a challenge, and he'll go out there and make anything happen. And then you've got Craig that's like, let's just breathe through this, see where we're at. So I feel like I get the best of two worlds.
Yeah, and so that's nice, Lou.
You know, it's nice to have a label that, yeah, it's just nice to be on a label with A, people I know, and B, that really want this to work.
Yeah. Who else has been there to kind of facilitate this second chapter of your professional self?
I mean, of course, apart from my friends, like my mum, my family, they...
Your mum's never not been by your side.
No, she's here today, like you said, yeah. No, she's been a huge supporter from day one. And she, what's lovely, she never over-involves herself in it, so she'll never have a harsh opinion, or she'll never tell me what she thinks I should or shouldn't be doing. She's just kind of been there for all the good and the bad. So she is there when, you know, shit hits the fan and you need a pick up, but she's also there to pat you on the back and go, yeah, well done. That was very good. And in such a nice way that it's never overbearing. I've never felt like my mom's one of those people that's kind of so involved in my career. She lets me just go and
she's
get on with
momager.
That. She's not a mummager at all. Like, when I go home, I do just go home. Mm. Like, the career and the life becomes very much second.
But she cares about you, Lou, not your career.
Yeah, there's no importance on my job. And yeah. I mean that in a good way.
Yeah, like, healthy way.
in a healthy way. She's supportive if I want to do something, but there's never an involvement. Like, she's never across everything I'm doing. Sometimes I'll ring and go, oh, I just did that. And she'll be like, oh, I didn't know you were doing that. How did it go? Yeah, it was good. All good. Anyway.
And then, and that's absolutely as it should be.
I think that's healthy.
Because that's important.
But she's always been there. And yeah, I'm grateful for that. Because you do. You just need those pillars. You need some pillars in your life that just prop you up.
Foundation.
Yeah, you do.
What about the boys? Do they get a mention on your thank yous?
My boys. Okay, so the ones I cried the most at when I was writing them, the boys and the dogs. I was like, why am I crying saying thank you to my dogs? What's wrong with me? Emotional wreck. Yeah, my boys, they got a huge mention. And actually their mention was, rather than me thanking them, was just about how proud of them I am. Yeah, I'm just so proud of them. They've turned out to be such good, young, strong, talented, you know, ambitious young guys. And that makes me so happy.
How is it with Charlie being overseas now? He's studying in America.
I miss him, but it's...
How did you not cry every day?
Well, if you read in the papers, I did. I mean, God, it was like this big Louise cries every day for weeks on end.
I actually would.
I did, yeah. No, do you know
what? I would
have
probably relocated to join him.
I was just so proud of him that he wanted to do it. And I understood it because as a young girl, I wanted to follow my dreams.
You think at his age... You were.
I was doing it at his age.
You were
age.
Working.
And actually, that's what Jamie always said to him. Mum was doing it at this age. He was doing it.
Jamie was doing it.
Yeah. I was in Eternal. So even though he was young, we just had to keep reminding ourselves that we were doing it at that age also. By the age of 19, I was fully immersed in Eternal, away from home for months. Going off to America, living on my own. I wasn't at a uni. I was in America recording, living in a hotel. Yeah. So we kind of had to kept telling ourselves that actually we'd done it at this age. And all I said to Charlie was, this is a huge opportunity for you. And I want you to go out there and love every moment of it. But I want you to know you can always come home and there is no shame in that. But he's loving it. And actually hearing him so happy really does make me happy. There is a time in your life as a mum you become completely selfless where their happiness takes all priority.
I think that from the moment they're born, you are only as happy as your unhappiest child.
Yeah, totally. Absolutely, without a shadow of a doubt. And he's so happy. And then obviously Bobo is doing his football and he's still very much at home. And you know the bit I love the most, when Bo will go to me, "Mum, I got a party Saturday." And I go, "All right, okay." He's like, "Are you okay to take me?" I'm like, yep, that's fine. Where is it?" And he'll be wherever. And he'll go, "Oh, could you take a couple of my friends as well?" And then he'll ring me when he's at the party and be like, "Can we drop so-and-so and so-and-so home?" And I love it. I've got them all in the car, put the music. I feel like I'm one of them. He's like, "Okay, don't like freak me out, Mum," and start like trying to chat, call with us and stuff. And I sit there and I listen to them all buzzing from their party and who was chatting to who and what song was played and everything's gassed and heavy and and ping and all of this. I'm like, I don't know what half of these words mean, but peng. I'm just going to go with it.
Not ping.
There you go, peng. What does peng mean? Just so I hear all that in the back of the car and I sit there and I just think, yeah, this is fun. This is, you know, these are little moments. These are little nuggets of gold that you just get in your life.
It's so nice to be needed.
Yeah. Yeah.
The dogs get a mention on the sleeve notes.
The dogs get a mention. I love my dogs. I love my animals. But so my dogs get a thank you. All of them
past and present.
Past and present. I mean, I've had two of my dogs in album sleeves. So Banksy, who is my bulldog at the moment. I've got two dogs. Rudy, he's one of those that I try and get him to do pictures and stuff and he just slinks off. He's like, "I'm not having any of that." He wants to just sit on the sofa and be left alone to purr. But the bulldog's very much in your face. Like, he wants a piece of whatever you're doing. So he's actually, there was a bulldog I had called Winston back in the day.
I remember.
Remember Winnie, my boy, who went on a 52-date tour with me and literally sat at the side of stage with earphones on, waiting for me to come off. Even at Wembley, he was set by the sound, like the in-ear booth right by the side of stage.
With ear defenders on,
yeah. Literally there, 52 dates did with me. And he was on that must have been Elbow Beach album. And then for this one, I was like, I need to get Banksy in this album sleeve, and he's got the gold chain on that Winnie wore.
Oh,
back in the day, and he's on this album sleeve. So the dogs get a massive mention and a photo.
And who else is... Were you surprised by some of the people that you wanted to thank that you'd maybe forgotten but really were deserving of a mention?
I think people like Wendy, actually, Wendy Bulldog, that you don't... Not everybody would know about, but it played such a huge part in those sort of early days. And then people like my musical director that I work with now, and like even like the girls that I go on tour with and sort of do the BVs and sit across the album, they're such bloody talents, like, and they so take their job in hand, like they don't try and be you, but without them the record's nothing,
yeah,
because they create not just great vocals but a whole atmosphere within a record.
Yeah,
they like, do. It's huge.
It's a wall of sound.
It is. People don't understand how important those backing vocals within a song, an album, how it all gets pieced together and how they really do create a feel within a record and atmosphere. I always think, I love music that makes me feel something. Like if a song doesn't make me feel, then it's not for me. And that feeling could be everything. You know, we all sit there and listen to the radio late at night in the car and the slow songs come on and you get that tinge of nostalgia and emotion. But equally, like a song that just makes you want to dance, that makes
yeah.
you wanna just something that gives you a buzz, that makes you want to go out for a Saturday night, makes you want to go and put your makeup on, to a song that makes you want to go and have a bath and chill and be in your own mind. Songs should always make you feel.
Yeah, and they
good
can
and
be
bad.
They can be the best motivation, all the best medicine.
Yeah, without a shadow of a doubt. And sometimes they can be harmful in the sense, but you need to go through that because they remind you of things or they bring an emotion that kind of makes you sort of maybe think about times or things. But that's to me what great music is, just things that make the hairs on the back of your neck stand up for something, for one reason or another. And such a big part of that are the people that are making that record with you.
Yeah, you have Wendy singing with you, don't you, Wendy Harriott?
Yes. Yeah, I have a real mix at the moment. So there's Katie Holmes and Bianca, and they're really right across this great album because I also re-recorded a lot of my old songs. So it's like a double disc or a double LP. So you get all of the sort of originals, but I've re-recorded. We've got a live version of Light of My Life. I've re-recorded Two-Faced, Naked, Arms Around the World. So I've done a whole Let's Go Round Again. So we kind of just... My voice has changed a lot in sort of 20-odd years. So I just wanted to get back in. And so you get both. So you got the originals, but you also got a bit of a new live sort of take on everything.
Well, you're not just a pop star now, you're an artist.
I try to be. It's nice. It's nice being able to go in and write. It's nice being able to not... I feel that for me, I'm always fighting to be taken seriously as an artist because I think when you come from that world of 90s pop, people...
I don't know though, Lou. People are so hungry for it right now, the nostalgia that sits around.
Yeah.
And the reverence that people attach to it. I don't know that it's... I don't know if that's still the case.
I hope not, because I did recently the piano rooms for Radio 2 with their orchestra. And it's so nice to get out there and do it for real, like properly.
Well, you wouldn't have been invited to do that if they didn't think you were an artist, if they still thought you were a puppety pop star.
And I think even after doing this for 30 years, that little bit of validation there put a real spring in my step. You know, even after this long and doing all I've done and playing Wembley and doing all of these things, just being asked to go and do that on such an incredible lineup of artists, I was like, okay, I must be all right.
More than all
I must
right.
be all right. I must be doing something right. Yeah. And I loved every minute of it.
And I really hope that as we sit here today, 30 years on from us writing that first book together, you do realise that you're doing really good and that you're more than all right. And the reason you're here is because of that, because you're really good and you're more than all right, Lou.
Oh, thanks, Kate.
It's been so nice to spend time with
you. Yeah,
you too.
So good to see you.
Please go and buy Lou's album. Please go and see her shows. And please just continue to holler your support her way.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing we like more than to hear a little bit of, go on.
Oh, God.
Rather than, you know.
Yeah.
It means a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think maybe an audience out there will never quite appreciate how much those kind words and support mean. I think they sometimes think that we don't, as an artist or as a singer or as a presenter or whatever your job may be, I think they think maybe their sort of like shouts of support, whether it be through social, through a gig, or just being there and supporting, that maybe it goes a bit unnoticed.
Doesn't.
But it really doesn't. Yeah. Like every kind word that's said, I pretty much pick up on it.
And trust me, I'd much rather, I mean, when somebody sends a message, listening to the podcast, for example, saying, I really enjoyed that interview this week. If a comment on your work rather than, for example, your appearance,
yeah,
goes so much further.
It means so much.
It does.
Those notes of appreciation give you the want and the love to carry on doing, yeah, what you do. So, yeah. And I love to shout and support other people because I know how much it means to me. Kind words go a really long way. Yeah. And that's one thing I've changed in myself, actually. I before would never have reached out to people, like maybe friends or somebody that's in our industry that I don't know. I've never met them, but maybe they've gone through something or they're experiencing something. And for the first time, I will just go on the DMs and go, hey, I know you don't know me, but I just want to say, I think you're incredible and you're smashing it. And I know how much kind words mean to me. So I hope these kind words can mean that to you.
This is what I'm talking about, see? You're more than all right.
Yeah.
You're incredible.
Oh,
it's so good that 30 years on, Lou, that you're still here.
Oh, I know. I'm loving every minute of it as well.
And The Greatest Hits comes out June 2nd, the night before. There's a big show with Q&A.
Yeah.
You're going to be taking requests at the Shepherd's Bush, yep, Empire. Tickets are available now for that. You can pre-order the album,
yes,
now. And if you are a bit of a West End Wendy, then head down to see you play Teen Angel,
yep,
across the summer,
yep,
at the Dominion.
Yes, that's my, yeah, that's my year so far.
And this from the woman that was worried about coming back to Europe.
My huge thanks to Louise Redknapp, who is just as lovely as you'd hope, isn't she? Don't forget, her greatest hits are available to pre-order now and available in June. And on June the 1st, she will be headlining the Shepherd's Bush Empire for a very special evening of song and conversation. As always, White Wine Question Time is produced by me, Kate Thornton, with Maria Nibbs and the Yahoo Studios team. Our music is courtesy of Andy Bell and editing is by Eleanor Humphreys. We'll be back next week with more great chat. And if your ears need more company by way of fine female vocalists and their conversation, then look no further than our back catalogue, where you'll find episodes with Charlene Spiteri, Imelda May, Skin from Skunk and Nancy, Danny Minogue, Delta Goodrum Ray, Ella Henderson, Bananarama, The Girls from Steps, and so many more.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello? Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's stamps.com. Code program.
Are you ready for truly hydrated skin? Meet Hyaluronic Body Serum, a breakthrough in body care from Osea. It's clinically proven to instantly increase hydration by 161%. Their lightweight, fast-absorbing serum delivers 24 hours of nonstop hydration for silky, smooth skin without the sticky afterfeel. Osea's latest innovation combines the magic of their best-selling Hyaluronic C Serum with a new formula that's good for the whole body and five types of hyaluronic acid to target every layer of the skin. Osea is a woman-founded, women-led brand that's been crafting seaweed-powered products for nearly 30 years. The best part? Everything Osea makes is clean, vegan, cruelty-free, and climate-neutral certified, so you never have to choose between your values and your best skin. Treat your skin to clean, vegan skincare from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with code SUMMER at OseaMalibu.com. That's OseaMalibu.com, code SUMMER.